Shlishi, the pasuk continues to tell us that if this person cannot afford to bring three animals, then he will bring one animal and two birds. The animal will be brought for a korban asham, and the two birds will be brought, one for a chatos and one for an oilo. This is called a korban oilo v'yared, a korban that fluctuates based on the financial status of the person bringing the korban. We mentioned korban oilo v'yared in Parshas Vayikra, Perek Hey, Pasuk Aleph, where the pasuk over there lists three types of averis in which somebody could bring a korban oilo v'yared. We also mentioned a korban oilo v'yared in Parshas Sazria, by a yoledes, an isha that gave birth. She also brings a keves la'oilo, but if she cannot afford a keves la'oilo, she brings a bird instead. And the pasuk says, vim dalhu, if this person is poor, ve'ein yodoy maseges, and he cannot afford to bring three animals. The mefarshim are bothered why the pasuk says a double lashon, vim dalhu, if he is poor, ve'ein yodoy maseges, and also he cannot afford it. Why the double lashon? And they explain, because a lot of times dal does not mean poor, it can mean weak. So over here the pasuk is telling us, vim dalhu, don't translate dal to mean weak, but rather, ve'ein yodoy maseges, he cannot afford to bring three animals. Ein yodoy maseges is explaining what dal means. V'lokach, and he will take keves echad osham, one sheep for a korban osham, litznufa, it will be picked up when it is alive. L'chaper olav, to atone on this mitzvah. V'sorein soiles, echad, and one tenth of an ephah, soiles of fine flour. Bol bashemen, mixed with oil, lemincha, for a carbon mincha. Earlier, when we were discussing a wealthy person that was bringing this carbon, three tenths of an ephah were brought, because for every animal, one tenth of an ephah was brought. Now that he is only bringing one animal, he only has to bring one tenth of an ephah for a mincha, the loik shaman and the loik shemen, which will be sprinkled on the mitzvah. Ushtei sarim, and two turtle doves, oishnei bnei yoina, or two young doves, asher tasik yodai, which he is able to afford, v'hoyo echad chatos v'echad oila, one will be bought for a chatos, and one for a carbon oila. Earlier we have learnt that if he is able to afford three animals, he brings one male sheep for an oila and one female sheep for a chatos. But since this person cannot afford to bring three animals, he brings two birds, one lechatos and one la'oila. The heavy oisam, and he brings them by yom hashmini l'tarosai, on the eighth day of his purification, elakoyin, to the koyin. What does it mean, the eighth day of his purification? It means the eighth day since the time that he brought the bird, since the shechita of the tzipar into the kli cheres and the mayim chayim. So on this eighth day he will bring his carbon, El Pesach Oil Moed, Lefnei Hashem, to the opening of the Oil Moed, before Hashem. Again he stands in the Shara Niknor, V'lokach HaKoyin Es HaKeves HaOsham, and the Koyin will take the sheep for the carbon Osham, V'esloik HaShomen, and the loik measurement of oil, V'heinif Oysam HaKoyin Tenufa Lefnei Hashem, and the Koyin will wave it and pick it up before Hashem. He will pick up the loik and the animal that is alive. The shochet es keves ha'osham, and he will shecht the keves for a carbon osham, again shchitas sofoin. V'lokach ha'koyin midam ha'osham, and the koyin will take from the blood of the osham. In the vessel he will take the blood and sprinkle shtayim shein arba, and with his hand he will take part of the blood. V'nosan al tnuch oizen hamitar hayimonis, and he will place it on the cartilage of the right ear of the person that became tar. Val boyin yodei hayimonis, val boyin raglei hayimonis, and on his right thumb and his right big toe. And then he will take from the oil, Yitzhak HaKoyin, and the Koyin will pour it, Akaf HaKoyin HaSmolis, on the left hand of a second Koyin, V'hiza HaKoyin Betzboi HaYemonis, and the Koyin will sprinkle with his right forefinger, Min HaShemen, from the oil, Asher Akaf HaSmolis, that is in the palm of the second Koyin's hand. He will dip his right forefinger into the left palm of this second Koyin, and he will sprinkle the oil, Sheva Pa'omim Lefnei Hashem, seven times towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'nosan HaKoyin Min HaShemen Asher HaKapoy, and the Koyin will take from the oil that is in the other person's left hand, and he will take it and place it Al Tznuch Oizen HaMitar HaYemonis, on the cartilage of the right ear of the Mitzvah, V'aboyin Yodei HaYemonis, and on the right thumb of the Mitzvah, V'aboyin Ragalei HaYemonis, and on his right big toe, Al Mikoyim Dama Osham, on the place where the blood of the Osham was placed. Even if the blood of the Osham was wiped off, still he will place the oil on this spot. It is not that it has to be placed directly on the blood of the Asham. The Torah is just telling us the place where this oil should be. The oil should be placed on the same place where the blood of the Asham was placed. And that which remains from the oil, asher al kaf ha-kohen, which is in the palm of the kohen, yiten al rosh ha-mitar, he will place it on the head of the person that became tar, lechaper olav lifnei Hashem, to atone on him before Hashem. And then he will take one of the two birds that he can afford, that which he can afford, one will be brought as a carbon chatos and one for a carbon oila, al hamincha, and also he will be makriv the 1/10 of an ephah for a mincha, v'chiper hakoyin al hamitar lifnei Hashem, and the kohen will atone on this person that became tar before Hashem. Zois taras, this is the law, asher boi nega hataras, for a person that has a nega taras, asher loisasik yodoi b'tarosai, who cannot afford to do the typical purification process, so he brings two birds instead of the two animals. The Malbim discusses, why does the Torah say the words asher tasik yodoi three times? In Pasuk Chaf Beis it says asher tasik yodoi, again in Pasuk Lamed me asher tasik yodoi, and the third time in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Ace asher tasik yodoi. Why does the Torah keep on having to repeat that he brings birds because this is what he can afford? And the Malbim explains, Pasuk Chaf Beis asher tasik yodoi is teaching us that you might think that the only time he can bring birds is only if he was poor from beginning to end. When the taras went away, he was poor, and then when he was about to bring his karbanos, he was still poor. Then he can bring birds instead of animals. But let's say if he was wealthy when the taras went away, and he first became poor before he wanted to bring his karbanos, so I might think that then he is not allowed to bring a carbon ani. Therefore the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Chaf Beis, asher tasik yodoi, he brings what he can afford, which is a carbon ani. Pasuk Lamed is coming to teach us that let's say if he was wealthy when he brought the carbon asham, but then he became poor before he brought the chatas and oila. So the Pasuk is saying, even then, he still brings a carbon ani. We don't say that since he was wealthy at the time of a carbon asham, he does not bring the carbon ani. Pasuk Lamed Aleph is telling us in the reverse. Let's say when he brought the carbon asham, he was poor, and then he became wealthy when he was about to bring the carbon chatas and oila. The Pasuk says, asher tasik yodai, there he has to bring what he can afford. And since he became wealthy before he was about to bring the chatas and oila, he may not bring birds, and he must bring two animals for the chatas and the oila. Zot Rashi Pasuk Chof Aleph, Visorin soiles echad, he will bring 1/10 of an ephah for a mincha, lekevezeh, shu echad. For this sheep, which is only one animal, Yavi Isaran Echol in a Sachav, he brings 1/10 of an ephah for the Minchas Nesachim. When he was in Ashir, the Torah says 3/10 of an ephah, because 1/10 for each animal. Now, when he is only bringing one animal, he only brings 1/10 of an ephah. The loik shemen, and he brings a loik shemen, loses mimenu ala bahinus, to put this oil on his right thumb and right big toe. V'shemen shel niske ha-mincha, and the oil of the mincha that was mixed in with the mincha, lo huzkak ha-kosuv lefarish, the pasuk does not have to explain how much oil was put in the mincha, because that is a beferish pasuk in Parashat Shlach, that if you bring 1/10 of an ephah for a mincha, you mix it with 1/4 of a hin of oil. If you bring 2/10, then you mix it with 1/3 of a hin of oil. And if you bring 3/10, then you mix it with 1/2 hin of oil. And since the Torah does not mention how much oil is needed, loik shemen is not the oil that is put in the mincha, but rather the loik shemen is used for something else, namely to sprinkle it on the mitzvah. And we really have to understand why Rashi over here is first telling us that the loik shemen is not the oil from the mincha. He really should have stated this earlier in Pasuk Yud, which is the first time that the loik echad shemen is mentioned. So Rashi, Bayom Hashmini L'Tarosai, and on the 8th day of his purification, he will bring these karbanos. It is the 8th day from when? Zakrashi Shmini. It is the 8th day from when he shechted the tziporim, the bird, ulazas, eis erez, ve'eza, v'shnisalas, and from when he sprinkled the blood and the water with the branch of the cedar, the red wool, and the grass. and he places the oil on the place where the blood of the Ashram was placed, even if the blood was wiped off, still he places the oil on the same places. Limeid, this comes to teach us, Shein Hadam Garim, is not the blood that is the cause of putting it there. Ela Hamakam Garim. The main thing is that he should put it in this place. So even if the blood was wiped away, he should still put the oil on the right ear, right thumb, and right big toe of the Metzora. Revi. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, and Hashem spoke to Moshe, ve'el Aharon, to say to Aharon, Lamor saying, Kisavoyu el Eretz Canaan, when you will come to the land of Canaan. Ramban asks that according to the simple meaning of this pasuk, it does not make any sense, because the pasuk is saying that Hashem spoke to Moshe to say to Aharon, when you will come into the land of Canaan. Moshe and Aharon never entered the land of Canaan, so how can the pasuk say, when you will come into the land of Canaan? Therefore he learns that the pasuk is really being makatzer. The pasuk is a shortened version, and it is as if the pasuk says, and Hashem spoke to Moshe to say to Aharon, speak to the Bnei Yisrael and tell the Bnei Yisrael, Kisavoyu, when you, the Bnei Yisrael, will come into the land of Canaan, Asher ani noisin lochem, which I am giving you la'achuza, as a possession, Vinosati, and I will give negatzaras, a negatzaras, beveis eres achuzaschem, in the house of the place where you are living. The pasuk says an interesting lashon, vinosati, and I will give. Rashi says that this expression of vinosati is mashma, that the Torah is telling us a besura toiva. It is good news when I tell you that I am giving you a tzaras in your house. The question arises, how can it be good news if Chazal tell us that a nega on a house comes because of tzaras ayin and because of lashon hara? Rashi answers with the explanation of the Maskil of David that typically tzaras on a bayis is because of an avera. But immediately when you enter Eretz Yisrael and you see a nega on the walls of your house, then it is a good sign. Because during the 40 years that the Yidden were in the Midbar, the Emorayim, the people from Emori, would hide their treasures in the walls of the houses. This way the Yidden wouldn't find it when they captured the land. Hashem did not want these treasures to go unfound, and therefore he placed tzaras on the walls of the house. And this way the Yidden would know that behind these places that there is tzaras, they would find the treasures. Therefore, it is a besura toiva if they find tzaras on the walls of the houses immediately upon their arrival in Eretz Yisrael. Uvo asher lo habayis, and the person who owns the house will come, vehigid lakoyin, and he will say to the koyin, lemor saying, kenega, something that seems like a nega, nearly baboyis, has appeared to me in the house. And although this person that owns the house might be a great Talmud Chacham and know all the laws of Tzaras, still he only says kenega, something that seems like a nega. Because Chazal tell us, a person should teach his tongue to say, I do not know. And that's why we tell the person, do not say there is a nega in the house, but only say kinega, something that seems like a nega. Mitziva hakoin, and then the koin will command, ufinu es habayis, that they clear out all the contents of the house. The koin does the commanding, and anybody can do the clearing out of the house. Beterem yovoi hakoin liris es anega. They will clear the house before the Kohen will come to see the Nega. This way, everything in the house, all the contents, will not become Tomei. And afterwards, after everything is cleared out, then the Kohen will come to see the Bias. Because if the Kohen will come before the house was cleared, the Kohen might see that there is a Tzaras and say that this house must be quarantined. And then everything in the house will become Tameh. Therefore, all the contents are cleared out before the Kohen comes. Rashi asks, what exactly is the Torah worried about that will become Tameh? If it's a keli that could be toiveled in a mikvah, a vessel that you can purify through immersing it in a mikvah, so what's the big deal? It will become Tameh, and afterwards, the person will be toivel it in a mikvah, and everything will be fine. If the Torah is worried about food and drinks that might become tummy, that's also not a big deal, because the person can eat this food when he is tummy. The Torah was only worried about kli cheres, earthenware vessels which cannot become tahar through immersion in a mikvah. That's why the Torah says everything has to be cleared out of the house, because the Torah was chas, the Torah had rachmanis on the kli cheres. The Mefarshim ask, why is the Torah worried about the kli cheres? Just like we said concerning the food and the drink, he can eat them during the times when he is tameh. We can say the same thing concerning the kli cheres. He will use these tameh to kli cheres when he is tameh. The Mefarshim answer that oichlin umashkin, food and drinks, are different than kli cheres, because food and drinks do not stick around the house for too long. So if they become tameh, they will be eaten pretty quickly, and we are not afraid that they might come in contact with kachim or truma and make the kachim or truma tameh. But concerning kli cheres, which can stay in the house for a very long time, it does not get spoiled, we are worried that if the kli cheres is tameh, it might come in contact with truma and kachim and make the truma and kachim tameh. That's why the Torah does not want the kli cheres to become tameh and tells you to take it out of the house before the kohen comes to see the house. And the pasuk continues, "V'ro es hanega," and the kohen will see the nega. "V'hine hanega b'kiras habayis," and behold, the nega is in the walls of the house. "Shika arurois," sunken in. "Yirak rakois," deep green. "Oy adam damois," deep red. "Umar ehen shuffle minakir," and its appearance looks deeper than the rest of the wall. Sifsei Chacham explains that Umar Ehen Shofel Minakir is an explanation of Shika Arurois. What does Shika Arurois mean? Sunken in, which means that it appears deeper than the rest of the wall. V'yota Koyim Minabayis El Pesach Habayis, and the Koyim will go from inside the house to the door of the house. V'hiskir Es Habayis Shivas Yomim, and he will lock up the house for 7 days. V'shava Koyim Bayom Hashvi, and the Koyim will return on the 7th day. V'ro'o, and if he sees V'hine Poso HaNega V'kiris Habayis, that the Nega spread in the walls of the house. Mitziva HaKoyin, and the Koyin will command, V'chiltzu Es HaAvonim, and they will remove the stones. They, meaning anybody, is allowed to remove the stones. Ashevohein HaNega, the stones that have the Nega, V'shlichu Eshen El Michutz Lo'ir, and they will throw them outside the city, El Mokoyim Tameh, to a place that is used for things that are Tameh. You shall not place these stones in a place that is used for things that must be kept pure. Because if these stones which are tameh are around things that must be kept pure, we are worried that maybe these stones will be under a oihel, under a tent, or in a house together with the things that must be kept pure, and will be metameh these things betumas oihel, with the tumah of oihel. If something that is tameh is together in the same house, under the same roof, as something that must be kept tahar, then the thing that is tameh will be metameh the thing that is tahar. And that is why the pasuk tells you to throw these stones, el mokom tameh, to a place that things that are tameh are used over there. Ve'es habayis, and the house, yaktzia, he should scrape, mibayis saviv, from the inside, saviv, around the nega. After he removed the stones and threw it michutz la'ir, he should scrape around that area and scrape out the plaster. V'shafchu es ha'ofor, and they will throw the mortar asher hiksu, which was scraped around the edge, el michutz la'ir, outside the city, el mokom tameh, to a place that is tameh. They remove the stones and also scrape around the area. V'lokchu, and they will take avonim acheres, other stones. V'heviu el tachas avonim, and they will bring it and place it in the place of the first stones. V'ofor acher yikach, and new mortar he will be taken, v'toch es habayis, and he will plaster the house. So the old stones were taken out, they scraped around the nega and replaced it with other stones. V'im yoshuv hanega, and if the nega will come back, ufarach babayis, and erupt in the house, achar chileitz es ha'avonim, after he removed the stones, v'acharei hiksois es habayis, and after the house was scraped at its edges, v'acharei, and after he toyach, the house was plastered. So if the nega will come back, then we will see in Pasuk Memhei that the house must be knocked down, and the whole house is taken michutz la'ir, outside the city. Rashi tells us that this that the Pasuk says, that if the nega comes back, it is a simen tuma, and you have to knock down the house, that is only if the nega is back at the end of 1 week. We do not look at the nega right away to see if it comes back. Because if it came back after day number 3 or after day number 5, that is not a siman tumah. Only at the end of the week, the kohen looks at it, and if he sees the nega came back, it is a siman tumah. Where do we know this from? From a gezeirah shavah. Because in Pasuk Mem Gimel, it says, v'im yoshev ha-nega, if the nega will return. And in Pasuk Lamed Tes, it says also the word yoshev to return, because it says, v'shav ha-koyin, the koyin will return. So we learn yoshev from shav. Just like v'shav ha-koyin is by Yom HaShvi, the koyin returns on the seventh day, so too, v'im yoshev ha-nega, we are referring to a nega that returned on the seventh day. And any returning of the nega before that is not a siman tumah. And the pasuk continues, Uvo ha-koyin, and the koyin will come, Vero, and he will see, Vihine poso ha-nega ba-boyes, that behold, the nega spread in the house, Tsaras ma-merasi, it is a piercing tsaras, ba-bayes in the bayes, Tamehu, it is tame. If we look at this pasuk at face value, there is a problem. Because the pasuk seems to say, in pasuk mem gimel, that the nega returned. In Pasuk Mem Dalad, it seems to say, Vihine Poso HaNega, the Nega spread, which is Mashma. The only time that a Nega that comes back after a week is Tameh, is only if it spreads. But this is not the Halacha. The Nega does not have to be bigger than the Nega that was there before they removed the stones. Any type of Nega that comes back in any size is already a Siman Tumah. And that we learn out from the words, Saras Mam Eresi. Because it says Saras Mam Eres by a house, and it also says Saras Mam Eres by a nega on a beged, on a garment in Parsha Sazria. And over there in Parsha Sazria, it says that if the garment has a nega, and they washed the nega, and it became dimmed, it was not as deep green or as deep red as it was before, then they cut out the nega and burned that part, and the rest of the beged is fine. But if the nega comes back onto the beged, you must burn the whole beged. And over there the halach is that if the nega comes back on the beged, it can be any size. It does not have to be bigger than the original nega. So just like over there, by beged, when it comes back, when it is choizer, it does not have to be bigger, it does not have to spread. So to over here, by tzaras habayis, where it says also tzaras mameris, it does not have to be bigger. So the question is, what does this pasuk mean when it says Uvo ha-koyin v'ro v'hine poso ha-nega, that the koyin sees that the nega spread? And Rashi says that these words are telling us a whole different case about the tzaras. It is not dealing with the case that we were talking about up to now, that the nega spread after the first week, and then we removed the stones and put in new stones and gave it a second week, and then if it came back in any size, it is tameh. Uvo ha-koyin v'ro v'hine poso ha-nega ba-boyes is referring to another case, which we will see in a minute. We will come back to this pasuk and explain what it means. But the pasuk continues that if the nega came back in any size, v'notat es ha-bayis, then the house is knocked down, es ha-vonov, its stones, that's etzav and its wood, ve'es kol ha-far ha-bayis, and all of the mortar of the house, v'hoitzi el-michus lo'ir el-mokam tomei, he takes the whole house with all the stones and wood and brings it to a mokam tomei outside the city. And the pasuk continues by telling us the status of tumah of this house that was locked up. V'habo labayis, and anyone that comes inside this house, kol yimei hiskir oisai, all the days that it was locked up, yitma ara orev, he will be tame until the evening. V'ashoychev babayis, and anybody that lies down in the house, yichabes es begodov, he will wash his clothing, which means not only is he tame, but also his clothing are tame, and that's why he and his begodim need tefillah. V'ayichav babayis, and somebody that eats in the house, yichabes es begodov, he too is metame odom letame begodim, he is tame and his clothing are tame, and therefore they both have to be immersed in the mikvah. According to the simple pshat, the simple reading of this pasuk, the pasuk seems to say a difference between one who walks into a house and then only he is tamei and not his clothing, and somebody who actually lies down in the house or eats in the house, then he is tamei and his clothing are tamei. Rashi tells us that this is not the case. that even if he walks into the house and stays there for a period of time, that is enough to be metame his clothing. And we learn this out because the pasuk says yechabes es begadav twice. Since it says it an extra time, we learn a ribui that the pasuk is coming to tell us that he does not have to lie down in the house or eat in order to become tame. And the pasuk is read like this: va'ashoychev babayis, and the person that stays in the house for a period of time will become tame and be metame his clothing. The reason why it says va'ashoychev is because typically a person that is lying down is staying for a longer period. How long is this period of time in order that he should be metame his clothing? It is the shear of kedei achilas pras. The shear, that the amount of time that it takes a person to eat a half of a loaf of bread. And that's why the pasuk says v'ho'ichel. So, really the pasuk in mem, vav, and mem zayin is saying as follows. If he just walks into the house and stays there for a short period of time, then he is tame and not his clothing. But if he walks in and stays there the amount of time of kedei achilas pras, then he is metame odom letame begodim. Now let us go back to pasuk mem dalid and explain what the pasuk is saying when it says uvo hakoyin, and the kohen will come v'ro, and he will see v'hine poso hanega baboyis, and behold the nega spread in the house. We already spoke about the case where the nega spread after the first week. Then the halacha is that he removes the stones and replaces it with new stones and gives it a week. If at the end of the second week it comes back in any size, then he knocks down the house. But if it does not return, then we will see further on in Pasuk, Mem, Tes, and on, that he has to do a tahara, a purification process, to be metaher the house by sprinkling the blood of the bird together with the spring water. What is the din if after the first week it stays the same? The halacha is that we give it another week. We wait until the second week. What happens if it spreads after the second week? This is what the Pasuk is talking about in Mem Dalet. After the first week it stayed the same, uvo hakoyin, and then the kohen came, v'ro, and he saw, v'hine poso hanega baboyis, that at the end of the second week it spread. So what's the din? Rashi tells us that we learn uvo hakoyin from v'shav hakoyin, just like in Pasuk Lamed Tes where it says v'shav hakoyin, and the kohen returned, and he saw that the nega spread after the first week. So what do? We take out the old stones and replace it with new stones, and we give it a week. So too over here, at the end of the second week, if it spreads, we take out the old stones and we replace it with new stones, and we give it a week and wait until the third week. If at the end of the third week the nega comes back, then we will knock down the house. And if at the end of the third week the nega does not come back, then we go through the purification process that is stated in Pasuk Memtes, and that is what the Pasuk means when it says, Uvo hakoin v'ro v'hine poso hanega baboyis. And the pasuk continues, pasuk memches, v'imbo yovay hakoyin, and if the kohen will come v'ro and see, v'hine lefoso hanega babayis, and behold, the nega did not spread in the house. What case is this pasuk talking about? Rashi tells us it is talking about a case where after the first week that it was locked up, the nega stayed the same. So the kohen locked it up for a second week, and after the second week, it also stayed the same. So what's the din by such a nega? We learn out Igzei Shava Vim Bo Yavoi to Pasuk Mem Dalet, where it says Uvo HaKoyin. And just like over there in Pasuk Mem Dalet, where it says Uvo HaKoyin, where it spread after the second week, we said that we remove the stones and then put new stones there and give it another week and see if it spreads. The same halacha is in Pasuk Mem Ches, where it stayed the same after the first and second week. What do? We remove the stones, we replace it with new stones, and give it another week. If it comes back, we knock down the house. And if it does not come back, then we go through the purification process of Pasuk Memtes. And the Pasuk reads like this, V'imbo yovei ha-kohen, and if the kohen will come back at the end of the second week, which means at the end of the first week, it was the same. And he comes back at the end of the second week, v'ro, and he sees v'hine lefosa nega babayis, that the nega did not spread even after the second week. So the din is that we remove the stones and we scrape around the area and we plaster it with new stones. And achare he toyechas habayis, and after the new stones are plastered in, and it does not come back after a week, Then the halacha is v'tir ha-koyin is ha-bayis. The koyin will say that the bayis is tahor, ki nirpo ha-nega, because the nega was healed. And now the pasuk continues to tell us the purification process that this house undergoes when the stones were removed and new stones were put in, and they waited a week, and the tzaras did not come back. V'lokach l'chate es ha-bayis. And he will take, in order to purify the house, shtei tziporim, two birds, veitz erez, and a branch of a cedar, ushnisalas, and a piece of wool dyed red, veezoiv and ezoiv, the same items that were taken by the purification of an adam that had saras, veshochad, and he will shecht esat zipor hoechos, one of the birds, el klicheres amayim chayim, into an earthenware vessel that has spring water in it, velokach es eitzo erez, and he will take the branch of the cedar, veezoiv and the ezoiv, veshnihay talas, and the piece of wool dyed red, the esat tzipor achaya, and also the live bird, the tavar oisam, and he will immerse all of them, the dam tzipor hashchuta uvamayim achayim, in the mixture of the blood of the bird and the spring water, the hizo el abayis sheva pa'omen, and he will sprinkle it on the house 7 times. When this process was done to the mitzvah, the blood was sprinkled on either the forehead of the mitzvah, or according to some shittas, on the back of the hand of the mitzvah. Over here we learn that it is sprinkled onto the mashkoif, onto the lintel of the door. V'chite es habayis, and he will purify the house b'damat tzipor with the blood of the bird, uvamayim achayim, and with the spring water, uvat tzipor achaya, and with the live bird, uveito eres, and with the branch of the cedar, uva ezoiv, and with the ezoiv, which is a type of a grass, a type of a herb, uvishniat talas, and with the piece of wool that was dyed red. V'shilach es tzipor achaya el michus lo'ir el panei asodeh, he will send the live bird outside the city to the open field, v'chiper al habayis v'toyer, and he will atone on the house and purify the house. That is the tahara process of the bayis. I would just like to note an interesting difference between the tahara that is done on a house and on a person, and the tahara process that is done by a beged on a garment that has saras. We see by a person that has saras and a bayis, a house that has saras, the same process is done where they shecht the bird into the spring water and they sprinkle it onto the house and they sprinkle it onto the person. We do not find this for some reason by a beged, a garment that has saras. Because if you look at Parshas Hazria, if a beged has saras and it spreads, then you burn the beged. But if the nega does not spread, then you wash the nega. And if the nega goes away, then all you have to do is to be toivel the beged, immerse the beged in a mikvah, and that is the whole purification process. We do not find that you have to shecht a bird and mix the blood with the spring water and sprinkle it on the beged. Why is the purification process of a beged different than that of an adam and a bias that has saras? Let us continue 3 psukim further before we go back on the Rashi's inside. Chamishi. Until now the pasuk was discussing nige or basar, where there was a tzaras on the skin, or shchin and michvas esh, where there was a boil that healed and tzaras took its place, or a burn that healed and a tzaras took its place. Now the pasuk is speaking about a nega b'mokoim sar, a nega that occurred in a place where there is hair, where hair grows, that is b'roish oy b'zakein, on the head or on the beard. If the hairs of the head or the hairs of the beard fall out, part of it falls out, creating a bald spot, that is considered a nesek. A nesek is the name of a tzaras b'mokim sar. There is a machloikis if a nesek needs a discoloration of the skin in order for it to be considered a tzaras. The Tosefta holds that in order for something to be called a nesek, the hair has to fall out, and in that area where the bald spot is, there has to be some discoloration of the skin. It does not have to be one of the 4 colors of tzaras. It does not have to be white like baheres or se'es or their subcategories, the sapachas. But any discoloration of the skin would be enough to be considered a tzaras. According to the Taurus Kahanim, by nesek we do not need any discoloration of the skin. As long as the hair falls out, that's already considered a nesek, And if it has two gold hairs, which the Pasuk will say later on, then it will be a simen tumo. And the Pasuk says, V'ish aisha, a man or a woman, ki yevoy noga, that will have a nega b'roish o'vizokon on his head or on his beard, which means the hair of his head will fall out, there will be a bald spot in his head or a bald spot in his beard. The Or HaChaim is medayek. Why over here does the Pasuk say V'ish aisha? It says explicitly an isha, as opposed to earlier in the Pasuk, in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Beis, where it says Adam ki yeh ba'or b'saroi se'es oisapachas oibaheres. It only says Adam over there. So Adam over there, a person, includes a woman. So why over here couldn't it say Adam? Why does it have to say isha? He answers, if the Pasuk would say Adam over here, I would make a mistake and think Adam over here is only referring to a man. Because I would think that only if a man grows a beard and then a bald spot happens in his beard, then that is considered a nega, a nesek. But if a woman grows a beard, since it is not usual, if the hair falls out, that would not be considered a nesek. Therefore, the Pasuk has to say Isha over here to tell us that if the unusual happens and an Isha grows a beard and gets a bald spot, that is also considered a nega taras. That's why the Torah says Isha explicitly over here. V'ro'o ha-koyen. And the Koyen will see es ha-nega de-nega. V'hine mar'ehu omoik min ha'or. And behold, its appearance seems deeper than the flesh around it. Uvoi se'or tzohoiv dok. And there are two gold hairs in the nega. The dark hairs turned into gold hairs. Duck, there is a machlekes what the explanation of duck is. Either it means thin or it means two short hairs. V'timei oisei ha-koyen. The koyen will say that it is tamei. Neseku, it is a nesek. Nesek is the name of a tzaras on the head. Tzaras harosh oy hazokinhu. It is a tzaras on the head or on the beard. Over here we see the difference between nega nesek and a nega be'or basar. Because a nega be'or basar on the skin, two white hairs are a simen tuma. And over here, by nesek, two gold hairs are the simen tuma. V'chiyira ha-koines nega ha-nesek. If the koin will see the nega ha-nesek, v'hine ein mar'ehu omek mina'or, and its appearance does not appear deeper than the flesh around it, v'se'or shokor ein boy, and there aren't two dark hairs in the nega, because two dark hairs in the nega would be a simen that it is tahar. V'hizkir ha-koyin es nega ha-nesak shivas yomim. The koyin will quarantine this person with the nega for 7 days, since there aren't any golden hairs and there is no black hair. To be metarit, the koyin will lock it up for 7 days. V'ro ha-koyin es ha-nega b'yom ha-shvi, and the koyin will look at the nega on the 7th day. V'hine lefoso ha-nesak, and the nesek did not spread. If it would have spread, it would have been tamei for sure. V'loi hoyavoi se'ar tzohoiv, and there weren't two golden hairs in the nega, because if there were, it definitely would have been tamei. Umari ha-nesek ein amoik mina'or, and the appearance of the nesek does not appear deeper than the flesh around it. So basically, it stayed the same after the first week. The Pasuk said, v'hisgaloch, and he will shave himself. Which means, although in Parshas Metzorah, by the Tahara of the Metzorah, when he has to shave off all his hair, that must be done by the Koyein, the Pasuk over here is telling us that this shaving can be done by anybody. That's why it says, v'hisgaloch, even he himself can shave himself, v'shanesek leigaleach, but the nesek, immediately around the nesek, he does not shave. He shaves his head, but he leaves over a border, the width of two hairs, around the circumference of the nega. This way, when he looks at the nega at the end of the week, he will be able to tell if the nega spread, because if the nega passes those two hairs, then he knows that it spread. So the Pasuk says again, v'hisgaloch, and he shaves the rest of his head, v'shanesek leigaleach, but he does not shave immediately around the nesek. This way he leaves a border around the circumference. V'hiskir ha-koyin es ha-nesek shivas yomim shenis. And the koyin quarantines the nesek for a second set of 7 days. Bal HaTurim takes note why the gimel in the word v'hiskalach is written with a large gimel. And he says, because gimel, three type of people must shave their hair. The Mitzora, like we see over here. The Nazir, like we will see in Parshas Nasai, and also the Levim, when they went through their inaugurational stage, they also had to shave the hair on their body, like it says in Parshas Bahaloscha. We mentioned earlier the Shita of the Rosh, who says that even by nigei or basar, a nega on the skin, the Kohen would make a mark around the nega. This way he will see if the nega spreads, if it passes the area of the mark. The Das Kenim Mibalei HaTosfos asked on this Rosh, and he says that we cannot do that, because even if it spreads, it will not be a raya, because the person with the nega might change the mark and make the mark larger. This way the Kohen will not be able to tell if the nega spread or not. It's only over here by Nesek, where the mark was made with hair, and the Menuga, the person with the nega, cannot change this mark. Only over here is a mark made. And then the Kohen will look at this Nesek on the seventh day, at the end of the second set of seven. And behold, the Nesek did not spread in the skin, because if it did spread, it definitely would be tummy. And it does not appear deeper than the rest of the flesh. And the Kohen will be metaher this nega. And the person will be toivel himself and toivel his clothing, v'tahir, and he will be tar. Even though the Kohen was metar him, since he had to be locked up, the din is that he still needs tefillah on himself and on his clothing. So the din of Nesek is similar to the din of Nigei or Basar, that if it stays the same after the second week, the din is that the Kohen is metarit. But if the Nesek spreads in the skin after the Kohen was metarit, and the Kohen will look at it, and behold, the Nesek spread. The Kohen does not have to examine to find two golden hairs, because even without that, tamehu, it is tameh, because it spread even after the Kohen was metarit. The imbe'ein of Omar HaNesek, and if the Nesek retained its appearance, v'se'ar shachor tzomach boy, and two black hairs grew in it, nirpa HaNesek, that is a sign that the Nesek is healed, taharu, it is tahar, v'tiharu ha'koyin, and the Kohen will say and declare that it is tar. The question arises on this pasuk. What is this pasuk going on that two black hairs is a simen tahara? It cannot be telling me that after the second week, if it grows two black hairs, it is tar, because the pasuk said that even if it stays the same and nothing happens, it is tar. So we do not need two black hairs to make it tar. So in what case is the pasuk telling us that two black hairs is a simen tahara? Rav Shamshel Rafal Hirsch learns that it is talking about after it spread. The kohen was metaret and it spread, so the pasuk says it's tameh. If after that two black hairs grow in it, then that is a simen tahara, and the kohen will be metaret. That is one way how to learn. Maybe we can also offer another explanation, because it is clear that the pasuk is not speaking about after the second week, because after the second week we do not need two black hairs to make it tar. Even if it stays exactly the same, the pasuk said already in pasuk lamed daled that it is tar. It also cannot be telling me that right when the kohen sees the nega for the first time, if he sees two black hairs, it is tar, because that the pasuk said already in pasuk lamed aleph. The question is, where does the pasuk say that after the first week, if the Kohen looks at the Nega and he sees two black hairs, that it is tar? If you look in Pasuk Lamed Beis, the Pasuk does not mention black hairs. It just says, V'ro ha-Kohen es ha-Nega b'yom ha-Shvi. The Kohen will look at the Nega on the seventh day. V'hine lefoso ha-Nesek. It didn't spread, because if it would spread, it would be Tameh. V'lo ho-Yavo yisera so'oiv. It did not have two golden hairs, because if there were golden hairs, it would be Tameh. But it does not mention that if there were two black hairs, it would be tar. So maybe this pasuk over here in pasuk lamed zayin is going back on pasuk lamed beis and telling us that if after the first week the kohen looks at it and sees two black hairs, then it is tar. And that is what the pasuk over here is telling us. Rashi is also medayik when the pasuk says tahar hu v'tiharu ha'kohen. It seems to be repetitious. He is tar and the kohen is metar him. Rashi says the pasuk is coming to tell us only somebody who is tahar, which the kohen was metaher, is that person tahar. But a person who is tameh, and the kohen made a mistake and was metaher him, that does not make him tahar. The person is still tameh. Zok Rashi pasuk chav tes beroisha bezokin. If the person will have a nega on his head or by his beard, the Torah is coming to differentiate between a nega that occurs in a place where hair grows to a nega that occurs in a place that is only basar, skin. Shezesi money b'sar lavan, because in nega b'mokim basar the simen tumi is two white hairs. Shezesi money b'sar tzohay, and in nega b'mokim sar the simen tumi is two golden hairs. Uboy sar tzohay, shenepach sar shachar sheboy l'tzohay, because two black hairs, two dark hairs, turned to gold. Nesaku, kach shemoy shel nega, that is the name of a nega shebemokim sar that is in the place of hair. And literally, the word nesek means to fall out, because the hair has to fall out by this nega. V'sar shachar ein boy, if there aren't two black hairs, then it is tame. Hoy im hoya boy sar shachar, but if two black hairs grew in this nega, tohar, it is a simin tahara. Vein tzorach lehesker, and it does not need to be quarantined. Shesar shachar simin tahara hu v'nesokim, because by nesokim, two black hairs are a simin tahara. Like the Pasuk says further on in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Vesar shachar tzamach boy, if two black hairs grew in it, it is a simin tahara. Vehine lefasa, and after the first week it did not spread, hoim pasa, but if it did spread, oy hoya boy sear tzahiv, or the dark hairs turned gold, tame, that will be a simin tuma. Vesgalach, and he will shave svivas hanesek on the rest of his head around the nesek, but ves hanesek immediately around the nesek, lo yigalech, he will not shave. Zagrashi, meniach shtei sa'arois, he leaves a border of two hairs, samachloi, around the nesek saviv, near the nesek around it, around the circumference, kedei she yehe nikr imposa, in order that it should be discernible if it spreads, she'im yifzeh, if it will spread, yavor hasa'oros, it will pass the hairs that were left over, v'yetze, and it will go out l'mokam hagiluah, to the place that was shaven. Acharei tarosoi, after his tahara, it will spread. Then the kohen will say it is tamei. Einli ela poisha la'achar haptur. We only know from this pasuk that if it spreads after the kohen said it was potter, the kohen said it was tahor, then if it spreads, then it's tamei. Minayin, how do we know b'soif shavuah rishon, even after the first week if it spreads, or b'soif shavuah sheni if it spreads after the second week? Tamad loymar. Therefore, the pasuk says a double lashon over here in pasuk lamed hey. Vim pasuk yifset. The double lashon tells me that if it spreads after the first week or after the second week, it is tamei. In Sefer Shari Aharon, he brings down a kasha from the Chofetz Chaim, who asks, why does Rashi need Pasa Yifseh, the double lashon, to tell me that if it spreads after the first and second week, it is tame? Can't we learn that out from the diuk, from the mashmois of the pasuk itself? If you look in pasuk lamed beis that speaks about the first week, the pasuk says v'hineh lo yifaso hanesek, that the nesek did not spread. We can infer from this that if it did spread, it's tame. And similarly, in pasuk lamed daled, the pasuk says again v'hineh lo yifaso hanesek, which is mashma that if it did spread in the second week, it would be tame. So why do I need a special pasuk or pasa yifseh if I can learn it out from the simple mashmois of the pasuk? And he answers, if you look at pasuk lamed beis alone and pasuk lamed dalet alone, it's possible to make a mistake and you can say that maybe if it spreads, it won't be tame. Because without the pasuk of pasa yifseh, I might make a mistake in pasuk lamed beis and say the pasuk is not saying that we lock up this nega for a second week if it stays the same. But rather the pasuk is saying, v'hinei lefoso hanesek, if the nesek did not spread, but there were two golden hairs, or there were no two golden hairs, but it did spread, so if it had one simen tumah, then you lock it up. And only if it has two simani tumah, if it spreads and there are two golden hairs, that's when it is definitely tummy. That would be the mistake. Therefore, we need the pasuk of pasa yifset to say no, that if it spreads after the first week, spreading alone is a simen tuma. And the pasuk is read like this, v'hinei lefoso hanesek, and the nesek didn't spread. Because if it spreads by itself, that would be enough to say that it is definitely tame. V'loi hoya voisei artsoiv, and there weren't any golden hairs, because two golden hairs alone would be enough to say it's tame. If it stays the same, then you lock it up. But if it spreads, it's a simen tuma. And if there are two golden hairs, that is also a simen tuma. That's why I need pasa yifseh over here. And also, if you look at pasuk lamed dalet, the pasuk says v'hinei lefoso, and behold, the nesek did not spread. But let's say if it did spread, I might make a mistake and think that if it spreads, you lock it up for a third week. Therefore, we need the pasuk of pasa yifseh to tell us that if it spreads, it's a definite tuma, and the Kohen will be metame this person. But what's still left to understand is a question that we can ask earlier in the parsha in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Hey by Nigei or Basar, because over there it says that if after the first week the nega looks the same, Loi Fasa HaNega, it did not spread, we lock up the nega for a second week. And Rashi says, Loi Fasa HaNega, the nega did not spread, but if it spread, it would be Tameh. And also it says further on in Pasuk Vav that after the second week, if the nega stays the same, it is tar. And Rashi is medayik, if it spreads, it is tamei. Over there, Rashi does not bring down it is because of a double lashon of Pasuk Sifseh, which is said in Pasuk Zayin. And that is the reason why we make the diyak and we say that if it spreads after the first week or after the second week, it is tamei. Rashi seems to rely on the diyak alone from the psukim, unlike he says over here, where he needs the pasuk pasa yifseh to make this limud. Zak Rashi pasuk lamed zayin v'se'ar shachar, if there were two black hairs, it is a simin tahara. Frek Rashi minayin, how do we know af hayoroik, that even two green hairs would be tahar, or v'he'edoim, two red hairs, she'enoit zohoiv, as long as they are not golden hairs, tamad loimar, therefore the pasuk says v'se'ar. Since it says v'se'ar, it comes to include that not only dark hairs are a simin tahara, but any color hair that is not golden is a simin tahara. Uloshin tzohoiv, the lashon of tzohoiv, doimeh letavnes hazohov, is similar to the color of gold. Tzohoiv kemoi zohov. The tzaddik and the zayin are interchangeable, and therefore tzohov is like zohov, which means gold. Urbalabalaz. Tahar hu v'tiyaroi akoyin. Why does the pasuk say a double lashon? Ha tomei shetiyaroi akoyin. A tomei that the kohen says was tar. Loi tar is not tar. By the fact that the kohen says tar does not make a person who is really tomei tar. And the pasuk continues, Ve'isha isha, and a man or a woman, ki yiva or besaram behoris, behoris levonois, who will have in the skin of their flesh spots, white spots. Ve'ro ha-kohen, and the kohen will see it, ve'hine va'or besaram, and it will be in the skin of their flesh, behoris, chaos, levonois, dim white spots. Boyaku, it's only a boyak, a shining parach bahar that erupted in the skin. Taru, it's tar, it's not taras. So Grashi, behorois chabarburois, spots, chaos, levonois, dim white, she'ein lovin shalahen az, because their whiteness is not intense, elokea, but rather dim. Boyak, kemin lovin haniru babasar adam edom, it's like the white that appears by a person who has a red complexion, shekarn rouge, which is called rouge, rosy, ben charbarburais admi musai, between his spots of redness, karib bayak, that's called bayak, keish achon, like a freckled person, shebein adosha la'adosha, between each freckle, mavik habosar belevin tzach, his basar shines and gleams with whiteness. So that is not tzaras. So to over here, these light and dim white spots are not tzaras. Let us go back for a moment to a diak in the parsha of Nesek that is made by the Netziv Emek Dovim. He asks that we find by Nega HaNesek that if the Nega stays the same after the first week, we tell the person to shave his head and to leave a border of two hairs around the circumference of the Nesek. This way we can tell at the end of the second week if it's spread or not. Frek the Netziv, why don't we do this before the first time he was locked up? The Pasuk says in Pasuk Lamed Aleph that if the Kohen does not see any golden hairs in the Nega, he locks up this Nega for 7 days. And after the 7 days, if it spreads, it is Tamei. Why doesn't the Pasuk say that he should shave himself and leave a border of hairs around the Nega before he is locked up the first time, just like it says before he is locked up the second time? The Netziv answers, because the Torah was not mechayev a person to do v'iskalach and to shave himself only when the probability of spreading is greater. And since typically a nega spreads in the second week and not in the first week, therefore the Torah was only mechayev v'iskalach in the second week.